Hello, friends. This is Alan Kirshner from Eschatos Ministries. The impact of Bible Prophecy Daily has exceeded our expectations, with regular listeners downloading all over the world. If you are finding value in these podcasts as they help you prepare for our Lord's return, would you consider giving to Eschatos Ministries? Simply click the support button in the corner of the podcast website at BibleProphecyDaily.com. Your support will help us maintain the delivery of this daily, one-of-a-kind podcast. Thank you.
You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Marquis Laughlin here, founder of Acts of the Word Ministries, with you for another edition of the Bible Prophecy Daily podcast. And what's interesting about today is that so many things are happening prophetically this month of October 2024. Amazing things predicted, all pointing towards this particular month, the Jewish holidays in particular, the early part of the month, early and kind of mid part of the month, all kinds of things, signs in the heavens. We have blood moons. We've got all kinds of prophecies that point kind of to this particular month being very active. So most people who are have been watching Bible Prophecy for any length of time are very aware that the internet, the Christendom is kind of buzzing with activity, all kinds of things people are seeing that are pointing to this particular time period, this fall period, where we're bound to see some amazing prophecies fulfilled. One of the most popular ones is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. There are a lot of people pointing this time period for that. Ironically, we have been going through Revelation chapter by chapter, doing a Revelations Director's Commentary series, and we are up to an interesting chapter for this particular time frame. We're up to chapter 17. We're going to look at chapter 17 today. That's the mystery Babylon the Great, the description of her and her activity with the Antichrist, or activity interaction with the world and with the saints, and her, obviously in chapter 18, we get a really lengthy description of her fall. So we're going to talk to today about Babylon the Great, Mystery Babylon the Great, and we're going to look at some other passages in Scripture that give us some hint of her origin, where she's come from, and then we're going to take a few shots at her identity and how we might be seeing some of the current events, the players that are coming to the fore. Right now there's war in Israel. Iran has just attacked Israel with more missiles, I think, than anybody's ever fired at a country. So we have a lot of things heating up. We've got the election. We have all of these things that are kind of boiling, and they're boiling in different places around the world. But specifically, we're going to look at how Babylon the Great, who this could possibly be now, her identity, and how she could possibly control the kings of the earth. She's seen riding on them in her prime, controlling the kings of the earth. And this is an old nemesis, as it were. This is her influence goes way back, and hopefully we'll draw some of that out for you in the Scriptures today as we look at it. But what I want to do first is read chapter 17 of Revelation. Now, remember, the context is we've just seen in chapter 16 the seven angels pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth, which is the final judgment portion of God judging the earth when Jesus returns. So we've just seen that, and we're getting, I call this not a recap, but the angel's going to slow it down a bit. and allow us to zoom in to kind of show us the context of the judgment we've just seen. So we're not getting a necessarily, I guess we're getting an instant replay of the bowl judgments, but we're getting a camera angle in a slow-mo that shows some of the activity of the major players as these judgments are about to come down and coming down. So that's what we're getting, and that's really that style of storytelling. That's a that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm doing this commentary series, understanding that that is a very Middle Eastern, a very Jewish rabbinical way of telling a story. You tell the story, and then you tell the story again, but you give it from a different camera angle, maybe close up, slow-mo, a different angle, and then you tell it again, and you give even more detail each time, adding more detail, and it's a way to teach that is very Middle Eastern, very, very Jewish in its origin. So that's what is happening here in Revelation. So I'm going to read chapter 17, and as I read it, I'll try to stop and point out some interesting things along the way, but I'm going to, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to go to some of the scriptures that really give us some backdrop for her identity, and then we're going to look around at our current events, and so much is happening now, and try to see if we can spot her, because she is a mystery. This is a mystery that's the ultimate mystery that is going to be revealed. There will be a point where she isn't a mystery, but this is a mystery now, and it was when it was given to John 2,000 years ago. So that's the context. Okay, here's chapter 17 of Revelation. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk." And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. Now the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery: Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to stop right here at verse 6. There's much more, obviously, but I have to point out that this mystery Babylon is drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. That means that she has killed some churchgoers, folks. That's the simple way to put it. She's drunk with the blood. She hasn't sipped a few. There aren't a handful of tribulation believers that don't belong to the church per se that she's sipping on. She's getting drunk with the blood of the saints. She is responsible for the persecution of the church, and you'll see that as we go on to chapter 18. You'll see that, because the church responds in heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb. They respond in worship, saying, "Thank you, God, for basically taking this woman out." So, and this is one of the big misconceptions, I think, about the end times, and when people look at the book of Revelation, it puts this in context. We spend a lot of time worried about the Antichrist and the false prophet, ooh, bad guys. But in the book of Revelation, in the end times, clearly, Mystery Babylon has some serious church blood on her hands. She is enemy number one in the church's eyes. The redeemed saint, he's happy that the beast and false prophet are thrown in the lake of fire, but we don't get a recording of their chorus. They don't break out in heaven singing. They're more happy when this Babylon, the great woman, goes down. That's when heaven erupts. So this is a huge score for the Lord Jesus and our side. And that means she presented some serious problems for us when she was obviously in operation. And so therefore we should be digging into her and understanding the nature of the danger that's coming to us. That's my point. And it's coming more, we're going to get it from her more than perhaps even the Antichrist himself. And so that's a huge point, but there's all of the scriptures really confirm that. Really, really heavy stuff. It also says that she is the mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. That is a hint to the word abominations. Takes us back to the flood. The reason why God's judgment came upon the earth was because man's thoughts were evil continually. There was violence on the earth that was crazy. I mean, man was corrupted literally, genetically. The animals were corrupted. There were abominations that were walking around. It was a corruption, pollution problem, which is something that this woman is accused of. And what's fascinating is she's talked everybody into this corruption. She seduced people with a corruption to corrupt themselves. So that's a and she's gotten drunk on the blood of the saints while she was doing this. So obviously she's talking everybody into doing something that makes them unredeemable or genetically corrupt. And the saints who, like Daniel and his friends, refuse to do it, or they are obviously persecuted for it. Pretty heavy stuff. Now, let's go into verse 7 in chapter 17. It says, "When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not, and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also 7 kings, 5 of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come, and when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an 8th, but it belongs to the 7, and it goes to destruction. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, 'The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled.'" The words of God are fulfilled. "And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth." Now, there's so much here. We could get distracted by the geography. We could quote to, I mean, there's so much written in Scripture about Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, you know, all of the variants of it. And when you go back and start looking at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and Genesis, you really find some amazing information. But what I want to do is kind of go to Zechariah chapter 5, because it gives you, I think, an insight into her identity, how the ancientness of this. Now, in Zechariah chapter 5, Zechariah has a vision, several visions in a row. And interestingly, right before verse 5, I think 1 through 5, he has a vision of a scroll. And of course, what does that remind us of the scroll that John saw? And it had woes written on the front and on the back, you know, and so it had a curse that was going to go out over the land. So I thought that was fascinating. And because right after that, he has a vision of a woman in a basket. And I'll start at verse 5. It says, "Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, 'Lift your eyes and see what this is that is going out.' And I said, 'What is it?' He said, 'This is the basket that is going out.' And he said, 'This is their iniquity in all the land.' And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight on its opening. Then I lifted my eyes and I saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they taking the basket?' He said to me, 'To the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. And when this is prepared, they will set the basket down there on its base.'" Pretty amazing, huh? So you're seeing the origin of this woman literally in the scriptures. And she is really the wickedness of the land boiling up. And she's literally, they're going to take her and set her in Babel, the land of Shinar. And that's where she's going to be all grown up at. That's where the peak of her abominations, her wickedness, is going to reach its culmination there. So we're looking in Revelation chapter 17. We're looking at this woman. She has been sent, she's full grown. Her wickedness is full grown. This is the fulfillment of this Zechariah vision. She is being put there, and when her, you know, the iniquity of the land, or the iniquity of the Amorites. You hear that phrase, the sin of the Amorites has not come to its fullness. There's a point with God over and over again in the scriptures where he decides, this is it. You know, your sin has reached its fullness. God's grace has run out. You have, it is time in order. There's a tipping point, a point at which God has to judge to be loving. His justice and his love are balanced. Waiting until Noah and his family were the last ones that were not corrupt, sending him the last animals that weren't corrupt. That was the full extent of God's grace. But guess what? He had to save them to start over, to show his great love. So you have the fullness of both happening. With wickedness, he allows a man to continue in his wickedness for a time, and then it is time to judge. To be just, you have to run out of your out of patience. You have to, you know, I mean, there's that, God knows that exact time. So I just find that's fascinating. And it goes, like I say, you're talking about enticing the world to lust after wickedness and be abominable. I mean, you know, think about Nimrod and Babel. The first time we hear Babel mentioned, the root of it, the desire for Nimrod was to become like God. He became a giant. He transformed into something that wasn't just human. He became a mighty man is the phrase. And that is a huge clue. You know, Nimrod, historically, we might call him Gilgamesh. We know from the stories of Gilgamesh and from the drawings of him that he was a giant. He's holding a lion in his arms like a cat, like a house cat. He was huge. There are descriptions of the size of his bed. They found his burial chamber underneath the part of the Euphrates River, which is where they said he was buried. And that was actually one of the interesting things that was found when we went in to after 9/11, when we invaded Iraq. One of the things that was missing from several of the different, they had a museum full of antiquities, and a lot of them came up missing or were looted. And that's one of the things that they had verified, that they had found his gravesite and his grave. And there is some question as to whether the desire to go into Iraq was prodded by the desire to obtain the body of Gilgamesh. That's some pretty valuable DNA, as it were. If you want to build some super soldiers or do some experimentation, just saying. But this goes back to wanting to be godlike, become godlike, and to change the way God made us. That is such a huge part of an abomination, something that God did not design, that man tries to create to try to be like God. Whether it's within himself or whether it's animal blending and stuff, it's that pollution of or distortion of God's original creation that she's really the most guilty of. She's a polluter. Her sin has literally messes people up and pollutes their bodies literally. So that's the root of her identity and her activity, and that was Nimrod's desire. Everyone wanted to be like Nimrod, and he wanted to take God's throne. He wanted to be the designer of man. He wanted to create the beast that he wanted. He was the one getting fancy with the spices, as they would say, with the DNA and with all of the mixing of animals, making chimera and all kinds of things like that. So really, this is a really heavy duty fit line for us to cross as humanity, when you start looking at what you put into your body and what it can do to you. And now there are things that can change your DNA from the inside out, so we really have to be careful, because we have to be like Daniel and his friends and say, no, I'm going to remain the way God made me. I'm not going to be mixing the spices. And that's a bigger challenge for us today than it's ever been for any generation. And I predict that it will continue to be, and that will be just as it was in the Garden of Eden. The ultimate temptation will be to eat this fruit and be godlike. In other words, take the upgrade, whether it's robotics, whether it's computer that is going to be combined with you, or whether it's a DNA thing, whether it involves nanotechnology or our DNA, whatever it is, it's going to be a temptation to be more godlike and change yourself, change the nature of yourself, to distort, to be polluted that way. So that's the temptation, and she is the embodiment of that temptation. And I think when you look, she has dominion over the kings of the earth in a very unique way. She's wealthy. Her merchants are the world's great men. I mean, and it really is the rich great men are her leaders. That's really what it's telling you. How did she come to power? By wealth and selling pharmaceuticals. Pretty interesting. Her temptation, it says her sexual immorality, that's the impureness of it. That's the abomination. That's what you're creating, things that aren't regular things. So she's trading in that, and she's seduced the whole world, and she has bribed the kings of the earth, and that's what's allowed her to take away some of her power. Now, that is a really clear picture, I think, of this woman biblically in Zechariah chapter 5. But if we look around, okay, who could this woman possibly be that we know of? Well, I think it's very tough to get around the idea that the United Nations, if they do wind up taking control over the world or controlling the world in a more powerful way, there really are the ultimate form of a one world government that could reign, that's really financially influenced, as opposed to 10 kings that are kings over areas, specific areas. This is the whole world. The United Nations represents all the world, and that's what this woman represents, the whole world. And she's riding it, and she's riding the beast in the 10 horns in addition to the whole world. So her influence she's more powerful, more influential than the beast in the 10 horns initially. And they shake her off and destroy her because they hate her. And they destroy her because she is controlling things. And then the beast takes full control over everything. So you a lot of times we look for the Antichrist to come and be reigning the world, but we forget about how he gets his power. And one of the final steps for him to get his power is for him to destroy this Babylon the Great, who is already in control and has power. So, you know, you have this mystery Babylon that has to come to power first before the Antichrist rises and takes over. And I think a lot of times you miss that step. This is tough stuff. I can't think of a more challenging topic than Babylon the Great, Mystery Babylon the Great in Revelation. This is probably the most difficult chapter in all of Scripture to try to break down and understand. I could do 20 hours of talking on different parts of looking at Babylon the Great. I mean, from location to activities, to her relationships, to different characters in Revelation, to the history of all of the predictions about her fall, predictions about her rise. There is so much. This is a vast topic. And you got to remember, it is the culmination of God's judgment on mankind. It's the world system at its finest, as it were, and which will be a huge, huge temptation for people in the end times, which I believe we are in. So hopefully we can get into some more of this when I do the next podcast, which will cover chapter 18. But until then, the Lord be with you. And we're praying that the Lord come soon, and pray for Israel. Pray for everyone who is clinging to God's words and hoping for the return of Jesus. Pray that your fellow believers will not be discouraged. They will take heart, and they will be encouraged as they see the days drawing near, and that they will dig in and find out what God's up to, so that they can be encouraged when they see these things happening as opposed to discouraged. And pray that we will shine God's grace to others. Pray for your enemies. This is a desperate time for people to be able to come to the Lord and get rooted and grounded. We just praying for them because we know what's coming, and you want to be in Jesus when he returns. Well, with that said, I will see you next time right here on Bible Prophecy Daily. This is Marquis Laughlin. If you have questions, you can email me, marquis@actsoftheword.com, marquis@actsoftheword.com, and I will try to get back to you. I try to answer every question. Sometimes it takes me a while, but I try to answer everyone. So, yeah, send your questions to marquis@actsoftheword.com. I will take a shot at it. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.